Thank you. The point's well taken. Any other people that like to testify before this committee on House Bill 185? Committee members, questions or comments? No? What is the desire of the committee?
Mr. Chairman, I just want to make a couple of comments. We heard, at least while I was here, a couple of people on teleconference lines talk about inequity, and there certainly is some inequity here. Or I did dash out to try to get a better feel for whether or not we were violating the Equal Protection Clause, not of our Constitution, but as well as the U.S. Constitution. And after conferring, I'm of the belief that we are not, because we're not taking away a fundamental right or really separating classes of people. So I think some of those concerns that might have been raised by some of the previous individuals who testified might be a little more comforting to know that we are not at least challenging anything constitutional. At least that's my opinion. Back house lawyer.
Well, thank you for your comments. Representative Elton.
Mr. Chair, I mean, in the interest of full disclosure, I'm going to say that I've got a lot of heartburn with this bill anyway, but and the suggestion that I'm going to make does not necessarily remove all of my heartburn, but there are two things that bother me about this, and I wonder if the committee would consider addressing those two things. The first is I'd rather have the compromise language so that a municipality is required to take an affirmative action to reduce it to $75,000 rather than an affirmative action to boost it from $75,000 to $150,000. And then I'm also concerned about leaving in the bill the provision that requires that if you do go back up to $150,000, it requires not only an ordinance but a vote of the people. I mean, I don't. Elections are sometimes tough anyway, but I mean, when we mandate an election that pits one class of property taxpayer against another class of property taxpayer, I'm not sure that we're doing something good. And if we take out the voting requirements, I'm not sure that we're doing something bad. An example that I'm familiar with is the city and borough of Juneau has exempted seniors from the sales tax. They did that without requiring a vote of the people. And the municipal process has worked well. So I'm bothered by the fact that we're making an affirmative in a way that's backwards, and I'm also bothered by the fact that in order to increase it, we're requiring a vote of the people. I think that's a provision that can lead to a rather ugly electoral situation.
Those are good points, and I certainly appreciate them. And it's the intent of the bill is to give as much local control and option to municipalities in the state. I believe that they're aware of the problems or situations or strengths or weaknesses that they have, and the municipalities through the people and the governing bodies will. They're closer to their people, and this bill is trying to give them that opportunity to address these at the lowest level possible. And this bill does not intend to create any hardship at all. We're not trying to go after the seniors or disabled veterans. We would like the unfunded mandates to clear them up and give the local municipalities all the options available to them to deal with the situations that they have. Some are more aggressive, better tax base than others, but I believe it is in my belief that we should give the municipalities the lowest local level of government the opportunity to determine their future and how they would like to address those. And there's always an open process at every level for individuals, groups, to address these issues, and we're just trying to give them that opportunity through this bill. And,
Mr. Chair, I appreciate that, and I agree with you. And I the neither suggestion, I don't think, removes the ability of a municipality to make those decisions. In light of that, I've got two simple amendments, and the commission can deal with them with dispatch or not, up to that. But on page 3 of the committee substitute, on line 1, the first amendment would be to delete, after ordinance, the words approved by the voters. The effect of that amendment, Mr. Chair, if I could speak to it just briefly, is that a municipality can make a decision on adding back in above the 75,000 level to the 150,000 level. They can make that decision by ordinance rather than being required to make it the decision by ordinance and then a vote of the people.
Where's the deletion again?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. On page 3, line 1.
Yes, I got your proposals to delete approved by the voters.
Right. The new language, Mr. Chair, would read, a municipality may by ordinance exempt from taxation. And I move the amendment, Mr. Chair.
Any objections? If there's no objections,
Mr. Chair, the second one is a little bit, and I apologize for not having this written out. I mean, I'm kind of doing this in an ad hoc basis as I listen to the testimony. But the second amendment would be on page 2. And it would strike the language on lines 16, 17, 18, and 19 up to, on line 19 up to limited to. And then the amendment would read, and then after, on line 19 again, after the word property at the end of the sentence, add the words, unless a municipality by ordinance lowers the exemption to an amount not less than $75,000 for individuals who qualify under 1 or 3 of this subsection. So that it may, Mr. Chair, if you can give me a little bit of latitude, I can read the way the language would then be. The language for paragraph E would be, the real property owned and occupied is a primary residence and permanent place of abode by a, one, resident 65 years or of age or older, two, disabled veteran, restore the word or I'm sorry, don't restore the word or, three, resident at least 60 years old who is the widow or widower of a person who qualified for an exemption under one of this subsection, so we delete the new language or two. Or four, resident at least 60 years old who is the widow or widower of a person who qualified for an exemption under 2 of this subsection is exempt from taxation on the first $150,000 of assessed value of the real property unless a municipality by ordinance lowers the exemption to an amount not less than $75,000 for individuals who qualify under 1 or 3 of this subsection. Mr. Chair, the effect of this amendment would be that the municipalities would still have a choice and still could lower to $75,000 the amount of property tax exempted for senior citizens. But instead of that being automatic, the municipality would have to do that by ordinance. So it would remain at $150,000 unless the municipality decided through the ordinance process to lower it to $75,000, or an amount between $150,000 and $75,000.
I would like to recognize Mr. Rich again to make remarks on the amendment.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I said, although these have not been, these changes obviously have not been permitted to given to our legislative committee, as far as I can tell, the First Amendment, which you already made, would be acceptable, because a municipality, if it chose to have an election, obviously could. It's a local option that they could employ. So you're not really taking anything away from municipalities. On the Second Amendment, the whole issue we have is a mandate, which really shouldn't exist today. And the idea behind the whole bill and the deal that we had talked about with the AARP was, in fact, to start from ground zero, guarantee a $75,000 exemption, which is still a mandate and is not within the purview of the municipalities to do anything about that, and to start from ground zero and let every community discuss in its own way whether or not it wants to provide an exemption, and whether or not that exemption ought to be based on hardship, or just a general exemption, or it should be 100, or it should be 85, or what have you. So in terms of, see, this isn't really something the state really has to give away or to give. I mean, this is truly something that's paid for by the municipalities. The agreement which the municipality came to with the AARP is a way of stepping forward, and what we had agreed to was to keep it at 75,000, start over in each community, and have a discussion as to whether it ought to be greater or not. This turns it around. So the municipal league would not be in support of this amendment.
President Belton.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I mean, just in brief response, I mean, the option is still there. I mean, I think it's easy to say that you're starting at ground zero and you're giving $75,000. I mean, the way I'm looking at this is you're starting at $150,000 and you're taking something away. So the municipality does have the choice of reducing it. And so we're not taking away a local option. I mean, the option is still there. What we're doing is we're just saying that what the benefit is now is $150,000. You can drop it to $75,000 if you want. But if you do that, it's going to take an ordinance that you take through the municipal assembly or the city council. The option is still there. We're not reducing the latitude that a municipality has at all. What we're just saying is we're just flip-flopping it, and we're saying the benefit is there. If you want to take it away. Do it by ordinance, rather than taking it away and saying, but if you want to restore it, you can restore it. I mean, I think what we're doing is we're saving some municipalities an awful lot of debate, because there are going to be some municipalities that may want to sit back and say, we wanted it at $150,000, that's what it was. Now we have to do an ordinance to restore it. I mean, we're just saying you've got the option. If you want to take the option and take it away or reduce it, pass an ordinance.
Yes, Mr. Ritchie?
Well, Mr. Chairman, as far as I know, there's no other negative options that are provided in the property tax code. I guess that's all I'd say.
Mr. Elton, this provision here that you're addressing, a lot of work has been done with Municipal League and the Older Alaska Elders Group. And I would not consider that amendment, but I'll leave it up to the committee.
I'd move the amendment, Mr. Chair, and so it's before the committee.
I'm going to object to it as well.
There's objection. All those in favor of the amendment say no. No. I'm trying to get a sense of let's. All those in favor of the amendment, please raise your hand. Those opposed? The amendment has failed. What's the desire of the committee?
Ms. Chairman, yeah. I wasn't here for a short period of time, and there was a recommendation made to amend page 1, line 14. Was that accomplished? And that was to insert up to $150,000 after AS 2945050I. I would make that conceptual amendment based on the testimony you heard.
Mr. Wright?
Mr. Chairman, if I may, there's also that amendment to consider that was addressed by the state assessor, Mr. Van Sant. Again, my name is Tom Wright, for the record, that after I, we include language up to $150,000 so that we, oh, I'm sorry. I was talking to Mr. Elton. My apologies.
To address the amendment, I just conceptually moved.
Sorry about that. Again, I was...
Mr. Chair, it's my fault. I asked a question of the committee staff.
My apologies.
Any objections to the conceptual motion?
The motion, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, the motion was, again, I was talking to the committee staff, so I also missed the comments of the representative.
Mr. Chairman, the motion was to basically coalesce with the assessor when he was on the teleconference line to insert after page 1, line 14, after 2945050, parentheses I, up to $150,000 may not be included.
Thank you. I'll hold this bill and we'll put it up for schedule again. And I appreciate the people on teleconference line and people that came before to testify concerning this bill. With that, if there's no other business to come before us, next Tuesday, March 21, we'll hear House Bill 247. Municipal elections and House Bill 248, local exemption from para. Thank you.